Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. Blessing to be here with you this morning. The subject I'd like to consider this morning is something that God has been working in my life on. He has brought a series of events into my life that has brought this to bear. And it's not just been a one-time event, but I find that God continually brings things to perfect this aspect in my life. Our subject this morning is two words that I find in Romans 12:1. Appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning, and our subject is just, in a sense, a continuation of that. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'd like to consider a living sacrifice. I want to notice three things. First of all, Christ, our example. Secondly, the call to surrender. Thirdly, the joy of endurance. A living sacrifice. Christ, our example. I want to notice several references, beginning with Ephesians 5:1-2. One privilege we have as Christians, ones who are called to walk in God's way, is that we've been given an example. Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. An offering. Jesus gave himself as an offering. An offering is to bring. To bring something, to offer something. A sacrifice is the act of offering. It's giving something. Jesus brought himself. He offered himself to God. And it was pleasing to God. The last part of Hebrews 9:26. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared, this is Jesus, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Again, Jesus brought himself and offered himself. Why? To put away sin. It's the purpose of his sacrifice. Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, the one who was in the form of God, the one who was in heaven with God, the only Son of God, became a servant, became a man, came down to be like you and I. Not only did he humble himself and become a human being, But after he came to earth, he humbled himself and gave everything he had and died the death of the cross. In Hebrews 12:2, we also read of the mode of death. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. What is the cross? It's a mode of death. An instrument of death. He had an unjust trial. He was falsely accused. He lost his respect, what respect he had. He lost his friends, his popularity. Everything that he might have had when he was here, he lost as he went to the cross. It was all over. He'd given up everything. The Son of God, the one who had sat on the right hand of God, who had all things under his feet, was reduced to a dead human body. But Jesus was willing to do that because of the joy that was laid before him. The joy that was the result of that finished work on Calvary, where he would again resume that place of honor and power, the right hand of God. He was willing to endure the shame, the pain that may possibly broken his very heart, literally. The pain he bore for you and I. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Why did Jesus do what he did? Why did he give his own life as an example in sacrifice? It was that you and I could be rich. That we could gain his riches through his loss. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 says that he died that we might live with him someday. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice that he might bring us, his children, his followers, to God. We have here brought out the aspect of the living sacrifice. The sacrifice was dead. Jesus died in the flesh. But in his death, there was life, life in the Spirit. Same book, 1 Peter 2, back a chapter, 19 to 21. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." What do we see here that Jesus did as an example for us? Well, he endured grief. He endured grief. And he says that it's not just enduring grief, but it's enduring grief for righteousness' sake, for doing well. That's what's acceptable with God. Sacrificing for doing well. He suffered patiently. We see that he suffered for others. It wasn't for what he was going to get, but he suffered for us. He died to self. Verse 21 says that he did this for, as an example, that we should follow in his steps. That's point two, the call to surrender. We go back to Romans 12:1, that we give our bodies a living sacrifice. Just what is a living sacrifice? This combination of opposites. A sacrifice we know is dead. What then is a living sacrifice? Living is to be alive. We all know what that reality is to some extent, because we're here this morning. We're sitting up. We're alive. Sacrifice is the act of offering, or that which is offered. So we consider the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Covenant. Multiple sacrifices. Many, many sacrifices. And these sacrifices were brought to the altar. They were offered without a fight. Fully surrendered. Why? Because they were dead. They were killed and brought by the offerer. Jesus gave himself, died to the flesh, and brought himself to the Father. A sacrifice. An offering through his death. He died to the flesh. He died to what Jesus desired in the flesh. Because there was a will of God, and Jesus knew the will of his Father. And Jesus was committed to fulfilling the will of his Father. Oh, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. But it was because of Jesus' death, his willingness to offer himself, that he was able to offer life to you and I. Let's go back to Romans 6. Romans 6, 3-11. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But then in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here again we have the concept of a living sacrifice. Where our flesh, we have given our flesh to die with Christ. We have identified with him in laying down ourselves, our flesh. Laverne. That the Spirit of Christ might be alive. And it is only when we identify with Christ in death, only then that we can realize his life in us. The body, the power of sin, no longer has dominion over us. I find it interesting in Romans 12:1 that he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why does he say your bodies? Why the flesh? Why not your mind or your spirit? First yield your mind. But it's the body. It's where the sins of the flesh are worked out. But as we go on to verse 2, we see that the mind and the spirit are right there with it. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, then work out in your flesh, that which is holy and acceptable before God. I don't have that exactly right. And so it is a transforming work of the mind, a dying with Christ, a yielding of the mind before the body will come to death as well. And so we conclude that as we yield our members, as we yield our body, these members which I use every moment, as I yield my members to Christ, that's the only rational thing to do. It is the only spiritually intelligent thing to do. That we might serve Christ in righteousness. We don't do it in a ritual. We don't do it under obligation. It is the only reasonable thing to do, he says. To bring yourself as a living sacrifice to God. We could look at the rest of Romans 12 as a practical outworking of that living sacrifice. It's a very practical chapter, but I want to go on. I have found that being married and having a family, that God has used that as a factor in teaching me this concept of a living sacrifice. As a husband and father, I have many opportunities to die to my flesh for the good of someone else. It's not an easy thing to do, and I don't always succeed in it. A week before this, last week, my family was sick. We had pretty much got over it. In the first part of this week, the youngest one got it. I had been sick. I had lost, hadn't got much sleep previously. And one night early this week, the youngest one, we were trying to put him down and discovered he had fever. The harder we tried to put him down, the less it worked. I was tired. I was up till 4 or 5 with him so my wife could get a couple hours. Then I got a couple hours. Hard to give up those things that our flesh wants. It's hard to die to self. But as we yield ourselves, God provides. Another passage on surrender is Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 21 to 26. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus makes it clear that our flesh runs counter to what God desires of us. The way of the cross for the child of God. We can't go the first mile with God unless we're willing to die at the cross. Death to self. And I believe that's why so many people today, so many Christians today, believe and practice a following Christ and their flesh. The God of this world has deceived us. We cannot serve God and myself. Jesus says that in the end, he who would save his life is going to lose it. This becomes very practical in the work of the church. How quick my flesh makes me serve in its mold. Why is it so hard to find a Sunday school teacher? To find someone to have a topic? Why is it so hard to find someone who's willing to serve? I need to realize that it's not about me. My service is not about my comfort or convenience. My service is only acceptable to God as it comes from a heart of self-denial, a flesh that is dead. Paul was very sensitive on this issue. He says in 2 Corinthians 12, he mentions the thorn in the flesh that he dealt with. We don't know exactly what that was. But he says that God put this thing in my flesh to bug me, that my life would glorify him and that I wouldn't glorify myself. Paul had things he could glory in. But God brought things into his life so that Paul would not glory in Paul. Paul had another cause to glory in. That was the gospel of Jesus Christ. His testimony in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Philippians 2, 16 and 17, is that he found joy and fulfillment in pouring out his life for others, in serving others, in serving God, and serving others through God, serving God through others. For the sake of the gospel, he found joy in dying to self and pouring himself out for the salvation of others. What a testimony. Paul's life also brings into focus another aspect of surrender. Jesus mentions it in Matthew 16, that of taking up our cross. What does it mean to bear the cross of Jesus? What is the cross that is given to every Christian to bear? What is the cross? In Acts 9, where Ananias was sent to the house where Saul was staying to anoint him, to appoint him to the work that God had given him, God said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And as we read on, we understand the suffering Paul went through for the sake of Christ. That was Paul's cross, I believe. What is the cross for you and I? What did the cross mean for Jesus? It meant giving up home, family, any convenience that Jesus could have gathered for himself. It meant giving that all up and laying down everything he had and giving his life. That's what the cross meant for Jesus. What does the cross mean for you? What does it mean for me? As followers of God, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. I believe the cross for you and I is the suffering, the afflictions, and the trouble that falls upon the child of God. Now, it's not every little nuance that we deal with in life is not our cross. But it's the things that we face for the sake of following Jesus. It is the suffering and the death of the flesh. My flesh. The things that come into my life to call me to die to the flesh. That is my cross. My choice as I follow Christ. Turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I believe this expands the meaning of the cross. We noted earlier that the cross is an instrument of death. And in Jesus' teaching here, we can't separate bearing the cross and denying self. I would take it from these verses that the cross is anything that God allows or places into my life that enables me or encourages me to die to self. That brings about self-denial in my life. That gives me the opportunity to express self-denial in my life. Now it's up to me. I can choose whether or not or how I respond to this. While family members are not necessarily trouble in our lives, God has given us families, and they are tremendous blessings to us. But in having family, we have an opportunity to be selfish. We have the tendency to put family ahead of Christ. Your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. Jesus said, unless you release them, unless you give them up, unless you die to them, you cannot be my disciple. Anything that would come between my relationship with God makes me unfit for the kingdom. I'd like to share a thought I got from a commentator. Our cross or affliction should not be a hindrance or a weight to us that we must bear as we travel this road of life. Rather, we must bear it. We must take it up out of our way and not silently endure it, but we must accept it for our own advantage. We must allow it to work for our good. What is the cross to me this morning? Is it this weight that I bear because I've committed my life to Jesus? And here on out, I have this cross, this miserable cross to bear. Is that what it is? I believe this is right. The cross is an instrument of death. It is something that brings me to dying to myself. But it ought not be a weight. We ought to bear it up and allow it to be a blessing and an opportunity in my life, in my service for Christ. Paul was an example of that. That thorn in the flesh. Did he complain about it? Perhaps. But he gloried in that because of what he allowed it to do in his work for the kingdom. Number three. The joy of endurance. Matthew 10:22 says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Back to Philippians 2:9. Again, we have Jesus' example. Following the verses I read earlier, how he, though he was in the form of God, he came and gave up everything as a servant. Verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." That joy, that's that joy that was held out before him, promised to him as he carried out the Father's will. He is exalted today, his name above every name. Drop down in the chapter, verses 16 through 18. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy. And rejoice with you all, for the same cause also do ye rejoice, and rejoice with me." Here's Paul again, just expressing his joy in service. The joy he received in giving himself in service of others. "I rejoice with you." One final verse, James 5:11. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Happy are those that endure. I don't believe he's saying here that just as Job received more in the end of his life than he had earlier, so you will. I don't believe that's what he's saying. But as we read and learn of the patience of Job and how his commitment to God and the cross that he bore, could we say, was not dependent on his material blessings. God had given, God had taken away, blessed be the name of God. God had not changed. "Happy are ye if ye endure, for the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy." And if God does not reward today, he will tomorrow. He has rewards ahead for the child of God. May we be faithful here, bearing his cross, that we might enjoy those rewards that he has prepared for his children. God bless you.